Our most gracious, loving Father, our eternal God, we bless and we praise Thee for all the way Thou hast led us. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast run that race of faith before us. Dear Lord, Thou hast shown us how to run and how to persevere. And, O Lord, we ask that Thou would now this morning by Thy Spirit show us something more of the race of faith and how to run. Gracious Lord, we pray that Thou would instruct us then today. Bless every waiting heart. Then, Lord, we would not be unmindful to remember our friend Chris Savage in our prayers today. Lord, as he continues this new treatment, we pray, our God, that Thou will indeed touch him in body. And, O Lord, we pray that Thou will touch his soul and save him by Thy grace. Lord, answer prayer. And answer prayer for us here now. Give us, Lord, we pray, the power of Thy Spirit. Do us, Lord, with power from on high. Once again, we will speak well of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in His name, always for His glory. Amen. Our text of Scripture this morning is found in Psalm 90 and verse 17. Psalm 90, this prayer of Moses, the man of God. Verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. And I would like to take the first part of that verse and use it as our text for today. Prayer of Moses, the man of God. This prayer was, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The Scriptures give us some very vivid pictures of what we were before the grace of God saved us and lifted us out of the mire of sin. For there was nothing attractive or appealing, nothing clean nor comely, nothing that would persuade God to claim us for His own. For the pictures that we have in Scripture of ourselves when we were in our sin are very unattractive, unappealing, and indeed most uncomely. The Scriptures, as it were, leads us into a picture gallery. And here and there, we see pictures, portraits of men and women and what they were like in their sin. We see hanging there portraits of kings and queens, portraits of servants and slaves, pictures of men and women from every walk of life. And the artists are men of renown. Men like Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Men like David, Paul. Men like Samuel and Moses. So let us consider some of these pictures this morning. Let us consider one of the pictures that Ezekiel has drawn. Ezekiel 16 is where we will find the portrait. And Ezekiel here is drawing a picture of Israel. Israel in her sin. But we have here a portrait of the sinner, the individual sinner. Because sin is the same. Whether it is the sin of a nation or the sin of an individual, it doesn't matter. It is all the same in the eyes of a holy God. And here Israel is pictured for us as a child that has just been born. But that child is a most uncomely child. And that child is cast out into an open field. Here we are given a description of this uncomely child. Verse 5. None I pitied thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. Thou wast cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Verse 6, and when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live, yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live. There we are given a picture of sin. This child did not possess any natural beauty. And because of its deficiency, there was none willing to embrace that child, to swaddle that child, to make that child its own. Instead, it was cast out into an open field to the loathing of its person. Oh, the ugliness of our sinful nature as seen here in Ezekiel's portrait. Another picture is held up before our gaze. A picture that is no more pleasing to the eye of the beholder than Ezekiel's portrait. This one was painted for us by the prophet Isaiah. There in Isaiah chapter 1, we read in verse 5, Isaiah 1, verse 5, picture of the sinner. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Consider it. Consider the words of Isaiah. Stand and look at that portrait as painted for us by Isaiah. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, not an inch of soundness can be found. Instead, a revolting mass of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Here are the recognizable marks of sin and depravity. There is no need, I believe, to look any further. We have seen enough. In these two portraits, we have seen what we really were, what we really look like in the eyes of God before grace saved us. No wonder the psalmist then cries, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. For only an act of God, a work of grace, can change loathsomeness, the loathsomeness of sin, into the loveliness of the Savior, as seen in the life of the Christian. For only God can give beauty for the ashes of sin. Let us then consider these words. The words of the psalmist, the words of Moses, the man of God. And let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. I want us, first of all, to consider the burden of the sin. Sin, of course, was the cause of the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The unattractiveness of our nature is attributed to the sinfulness of our nature. Concerning this burden that the psalmist had, when he prayed that he might be clothed with the beauty of the Lord, want us to consider the change. From being covered from head to foot in wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, how can this change then come about? How can we be changed from being like that child cast out into an open field because of the loathsomeness of its person? How can we then be changed and be made like even the beauty of the Lord? Job 14 verse 4, we have these words, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one, that is, not one but God. God alone can bring the clean out of the unclean. God alone can indeed give us beauty for the ashes of sin. For there's not a disease, not a deformity that He has not got power over. God is able. He healed Naaman of his leprosy, so that his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Only God can bring about such a change. He took the man who had been blind from his birth, anointed his eyes, and the man came seeing. John 9 verse 7. Only the Lord is able to do this. And the man who had been paralyzed with an infirmity for 38 years, the moment he met Jesus Christ, in an instant, Jesus Christ made him whole. For the Lord said to him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Yes, the Lord is able to bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He has been removing the ugliness of sin in the souls and lives of sinners for centuries, and He's still bringing the clean out of the unclean. He's still able to work that change. He still possesses that transforming power. He removes the ugliness of sin and He replaces it with His own beauty and His own loveliness. Let's go back again to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16. Verse 6 tells us that the Lord Jesus one day passed by. The Lord Himself passed by and He saw that forsaken child. The Lord said, "Live." We thank God for that day. The Lord passed by and saw us and said unto us, "Live." He alone is able to give the gift of life. Life eternal. Life everlasting. Life more abundant in Jesus. And when He took this child and gave it life, look at all that He did for it. Verse 9, He washed it. Verse 10, He clothed it. Verse 11, He decked it with bracelets and a chain about its neck. Verse 12, He put a jewel on its forehead and earrings and a crown upon its head. Now look at verse 13. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful. How did this change come about? The Lord wrought the change. The child that was ugly and uncomely, suddenly now, that child is exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom, verse 14, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. But mark this, where did this beauty, where did this loveliness come from? Was it in man himself? No, we have already discovered that. Man of himself was covered from head to toe in wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There was nothing in us that would attract God to us. So where did the loveliness, where did the beauty come from? Verse 14 of Ezekiel 16 goes on to say, "For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." That's where the beauty, that's where the loveliness, that's where the comeliness came from, was the Lord's own beauty. Dear child of God, when the Lord Jesus, grace, passed by, saw us in our sin, saw us polluted by our sin, He said, "Live." And we receive life. And then He cleansed us, and He clothed us, and He decked us. And then He did something else. He gave us His beauty. That is why we can look upon certain believers today, and you and I can look upon them and we can say, "What a beautiful Christian. What a lovely child of God that man or that woman is." It's not their own beauty that can be seen, but it is the loveliness of Christ. That's what is seen. Psalm 149, verse 4, "The Lord taketh pleasure in His people." He will beautify the meek with salvation. There it is. Salvation changes everything. The ugliness of sin is removed and replaced with the loveliness of Christ. And now the man of God prays, yea, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. In other words, what Moses was praying was, let the beauty of the Lord be seen in us. Let that beauty be seen. Dear child of God, would that not be our prayer? Surely it. May the beauty of the Lord thy God, may it be seen in me. It's the change, and then the cry. The cry comes from the lips of the psalmist, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now there are many things that we pray about, and there are many things that we pray for, when we bow the knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here was something that this psalmist, even Moses, felt was important enough for him to pray about, for him to make it a matter of prayer. He wanted the beauty of the Lord his God to be upon him, to be seen in his life. Just in the light of that cry that came from the lips of Moses. Have we ever prayed that prayer? Has that ever been our cry? Lord, let thy loveliness be seen in me. And remember, yes, this was the prayer of Moses. And it was the prayer of Moses, the man of God. And without a doubt, some of the loveliness of Christ could be seen in Moses. He was a man of God, a man that was known for his meekness and his patience and his love for souls. For you remember when Moses pleaded with the Lord for the children of Israel after they had made for themselves and worshipped the golden calf. Moses interceded for the children of Israel and was prepared to have his own name removed from the book of life if it meant that Israel could be saved. That was his love, the love he had for souls. There's the Christ-likeness in Moses and the meekness of Moses leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. We see the patience of Moses. We can see something of the loveliness of the Lord. And the same man goes on to pray, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let more of the Lord's beauty, let more of the Lord's loveliness, let more of the Lord's comeliness be seen in me. Oh, let us make that our prayer. Let it be our cry, the cry that comes from our lips. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Then thirdly, we have here his concern. The fact that Moses prayed about this matter is a clear indication that he was concerned about it. We go to the Lord, we seek God's face, We come to the throne of grace with our burdens and our cares and those things that concern us. This evidently concerned Moses. What was he concerned about? He was concerned, first of all, about his features. That is, his appearance, his attitude. For he prayed, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Of course, he wasn't concerned about his physical features. His physical appearance, so much as his spiritual appearance. Oh, how much does this concern us? Much does this matter to us? How we appear spiritually, how the spiritual man appears. Are we concerned about it enough to pray about it? And to pray, "Lord, let thy beauty be upon me." This matter also concerned the Apostle Paul with regard to the saints at Rome, for turn to Romans 13, the 13th chapter of Romans. There we read in verses 12 to 14. Paul says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the to fulfill the lust thereof." That's what concerned Paul. He exhorted the saints to put on Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Let not the flesh be seen in your life, but let Christ and the loveliness and the beauty of Christ. So he was concerned about his features. He was concerned about his failures. Moses had his failures. We all have our failures. We all have our faults. All due to our fleshly nature. And here it is evident that Moses was concerned about his failures, because he prayed, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Let not my failures and my faults be seen, but let the Lord be seen. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. So said, those faults and failures come from our sinfulness. Moses didn't want his old sinful nature to be seen. He wanted the loveliness of his Lord to be seen. It was his prayer. Not the unattractive, unlovely, undesirable sight of the old nature, but the beauty of the new, the beauty of the Lord himself. Turn, please, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22, Paul, writing to the saints at Ephesus, exhorts them, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and truth, holiness, there's the beauty of the Lord. Righteousness and true holiness, there's beauty. There we have loveliness. There we have what is righteousness and holiness. The prayer of Moses would speak to us of something else. Speak to us of favor. It appears from some references in Scripture. We saw that in Ezekiel's picture of the nation of Israel as a cast out child. When the Lord passed by and gave life to that child, He also favored it with beauty. Ezekiel 16, verses 13 and 14. This truth can also be seen in Isaiah 28 verse 5. Let me read the words to you. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. An indication of God's favor being extended to His people. And here's Moses, the man of God, and he's praying. And he's praying, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Lord, bless us with Thy favor. Same thought is found in Zechariah 9, verses 16 and 17. Let us then pray as Moses did. And seek the favor of the Lord. And if we seek the favor of the Lord and the Lord blesses us with His comeliness and His beauty, then all will know we have been favored by the Lord. For if the beauty of the Lord is seen in us, it will be a testimony to the fact that God has favored us. Bless His name. And we notice also His conviction. There is conviction in these words, the words of the psalmist Moses, because what does he pray? He says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Be upon us. That which can be seen. But the words may also be translated, let the beauty of the Lord our God be in us. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be in us. In other words, Moses wanted that beauty to come from the inside out. For I tell you, if the beauty of the Lord is in the Christian's heart, the beauty of the Lord will be seen in the Christian's life. I'd like you to turn, please, to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verse 27. Matthew 23, verse 27. The Lord Jesus is addressing the Pharisees. He says to the Pharisees, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Moses, when he prayed, was really praying and saying, that's not what I want. I don't want this beauty just to be something that's on the outside. I want the beauty of the Lord my God to be in me. For when it is in me, then it will be seen in my life. So we have the burden of the saint. Then we have the beauty of the Savior. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The beauty of the Lord. The world runs after its film stars and actors and pop stars and all the rest of it. Young people want to look like their film star or their actor or actress. Moses just wanted to be like the Lord. Just make me like the Lord. Here's the beauty of the Savior. The beauty of the Lord our God. We note then it was a divine beauty. This is a divine beauty. It's the beauty of the Lord our God. Here is a beauty, a loveliness or comeliness that not everyone is able to see. Tell me, did we see any loveliness or beauty or comeliness in Jesus Christ before God saved us? Did we see any beauty in the Lord our God before the Lord opened our eyes? Not at all. Isaiah tells us that, Isaiah 53 and verse 3, He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. For when we were blinded by the God of this world, we couldn't see the beauty of Christ. It was only when the Lord in grace anointed our eyes with eye salve, and He opened our eyes, that we then beheld the loveliness of Jesus Christ. That first glimpse we had of Him, the moment our eyes were opened, was the most beautiful view we have ever had of the Savior. Because we saw Him as our substitute on the cross of Calvary. There we saw the beauty of our Savior. And it is that beauty that we now desire. Isaiah 33, verse 17. The prophet there speaks of those that walketh up righteously and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. The Lord has said, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Eyes that have been anointed by grace are the eyes that shall see the King in His beauty. We thank God that the Lord has given us eyes for the Lord. We once had eyes only for the world and the things of the world, but that has all changed. And the Lord has given us eyes for no one but Christ. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's not the prayer of the unconverted. That's not the prayer of the ungodly. That's the prayer of the righteous. That's the prayer of the converted. That's the prayer of a man of God. My desire is to see the beauty of the Lord. And when we see the beauty of the Lord, we want that beauty to be seen in us. When our spiritual eyes were opened, what beauty, what divine beauty we saw in the Lord our God, our Savior. We saw the beauty of His person. We saw the beauty of His perfections and His purposes, His promises, and His purity. We saw the beauty of His humility, the beauty of His holiness, and the beauty in His humanity. What wondrous beauty we can see in His words, in His works, and in His ways. And when we look and look and look again, we can only say with Solomon, yea, He is altogether lovely. Everything about Him is unblemished beauty and loveliness. And when we see Him in all His beauty, would we not then pray with Moses, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. A divine beauty, a desirable beauty. We quote it there from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, yea, He is altogether lovely. That's the bride's description of the bridegroom. That's the church's description of Christ. Yea, He is altogether lovely. The word lovely is a word that means desirable. Yea, He is altogether desirable. His loveliness is desirable. His person is desirable. His meekness, His holiness are desirable. When we see Christ, see how lovely He is, how beautiful He is, how comely He is, do we not desire His beauty? Notice what Moses prayed. He didn't pray, Lord, make me like my Savior. Give me a beauty like the Lord my God. No, he said, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the Lord's beauty be our portion. Let the Lord's beauty be seen. Then it's a display of beauty. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. If that beauty is within us and upon us, then it will be seen. I'd like you to turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 8. There Paul speaks about the beauty of the Lord. For verse 8, he speaks about what we should put off. But now ye also put off all these. He mentions anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And then he tells us in verse 10 what we're to put on. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Verse 14. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. See what has to be put off and what has to be put on. We put on Christ. Bowels of mercies. We Was anyone more merciful than Christ? Kindness, was anyone more kind than Christ? Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering? Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Christ, forgive us. Father, forgive them. Was his prayer. For they know not what they do. Oh, that this Christ-likeness would be displayed in your life and mine. This meekness. This Christ-like kindness, this Christ-like humbleness, this Christ-like long suffering, this Christ-like love. And finally and quickly, the blessings to be sent. For Moses prayed that the beauty of the Lord his God would be upon him. Would the Lord deny such a petition? Such a request? Not at all. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Remember what the Lord did for that forsaken child in Ezekiel. He removed its uncomeliness and gave it his beauty. The Lord is ready indeed to beautify the Christ. To make the Christian more and more like himself. The perception. Sometimes through our follies and our fleshliness, that beauty of Christ cannot be seen by others. But the wonderful thing is, since the Lord saved us, the Lord beholds our beauty. In the Song of Solomon, once again, we have there the bridegroom, and he's addressing his bride. Christ is addressing his church. And there he says in the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. The Lord always sees the beauty of his people. He sees his beauty in his people. You think of the prospect. For Moses prayed, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Dear child of God, think of that day when this corruptible shall put on incorruption. When we shall receive a body like unto his glory. And we shall be like him who is all together lovely. We shall be presented, as Jude has told us, faultless, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The old sinful nature, our sinful ways that mar the beauty of the Lord in us, will be gone forever. We shall say with the psalmist, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let us make it our prayer. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let us bow in prayer. most loving, gracious, and eternal Father, we come before Thee today and we recognize that, Lord, we're still in the flesh. We still battle with the old nature and the old man. Gracious Father, we recognize also, yea, Lord, I recognize that more often than not the flesh is seen instead of the beauty of the Lord. O gracious Father, I pray today that more of the beauty of Jesus Christ will be seen in me. And O Lord, help us to pray that the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Dear Lord, write Thy word in our hearts. And O Lord, give us that beauty that we desire. For Lord, if it's a beauty that is to be desired, then Lord, if that beauty is seen in us, then others will desire the Christ that we know. May others indeed see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, answer prayer. Be with us, our Father, this day, and be with us now as we make our way to our homes. Guide us, Lord, with Thine eye. Keep us as the apple of Thine eye. And watch over us, dear Lord, until we meet again. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.